Imagine today's pop hits by the likes of Beyoncé, Britney Spears and Taylor Swift, but performed in vintage styles like Motown, Jazz and Soul by the likes of Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland and Louis Armstrong. Well, that's what you get with Scott Bradley's postmodern jukebox, or PMJ as us cool cats like to call them. They've notched up millions of hits on YouTube and social networks, but now they're on their third and biggest tour of the UK. They've already played London and Manchester, got more gigs to come. But there's still time to catch them, including O2 Academies in Sheffield on Saturday, March the 19th, and Leeds the following night on Sunday, March the 20th. My name's Graham Walker, and to tell us all about the band and the show, on the phone today I've got Scott Bradley himself. So Scott, what can fans expect?
Oh, geez. Well, thanks, Graham. That was a great intro, by the way. That was pretty cool. Basically, it's going to feel like going to a New Year's Eve party with the Rat Pack in the 1940s. Wow. This is the kind of party that we set up. It's essentially, you're seeing a variety show. You're seeing some of the best performers in the world, in multiple vocalists, a tap dancer, an MC, a horn section, you know, all of this timeless kind of music, but with a twist. And the twist is that you're going to know all the songs. You're going to be familiar with the lyrics because they're ones by Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift or Lady Gaga.
Well, so, just amazing. Well, you'll never find a bigger Frank Sinatra fan than the guy that you're talking to.
Excellent, yeah. He's one of the greats.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him four times in concert, actually. And,
oh, no way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I wish I was a little bit older so I could have, yeah.
You're just making me feel old now. Well, look, your cover of Miley Cyrus, We Can't Stop, that's racked up, I think, about 15 million views on YouTube, and it goes on with others. You've done things with, like I say, by Taylor Swift. I think Meghan Trainor's All About the Bass. I think you've got to give a 70s soul kind of vibe to the Backstreet Boys. I Want It That Way. Is any pop it fair game?
Pretty much. I think that, you know, I think most people think that something that is essentially electronic, which a lot of pop music is, that would be really hard to cover, but it's actually a little bit easier to adapt into these older styles, I found. I think that the hardest things for me to kind of transform is something that's already kind of retro-sounding, something like Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson. It's already got a classic 70s soul kind of feel to it, so it's a little bit tricky to take something like that. But otherwise, yeah, everything's fair game.
Does this tell us that today's pop tunes are far from plastic pop songs, but actually are timeless classics?
You know, I think that one of the interesting parts of this project has been just the debates that has started. You know, there's a lot of people that write to me and or that see us at a show or something, and like, I had no idea that was really a good song underneath all that production or something. So I think it's made a lot of people, you know, talk about, well, what makes a great song? You know, is it the actual words? Is it the melody? Is it the production? Is it the performance? I mean, it's stuff that nobody's really has an answer for.
I've not heard you do any covers yet by Sheffield bands Def Leppard or Iron Maiden. Would that work?
I would love to cover either of those. I think that it's definitely going to happen. I think that would be pretty interesting to do. I didn't realize that both of them were from Sheffield. Iron Maiden too. Wow.
Yeah, well, Bruce Dickinson, the lead singer, is from
Yeah. Well, I think that'd be pretty cool. I think that, you know, what's funny to me is that I remember I grew up in the 80s, and, you know, if you grew up in the 80s, you had a Nintendo. That was the video game system of choice. But there's so many of the soundtracks from that era sounded just like Iron Maiden. So I think that, you know, the composer of all those video game soundtracks were pretty inspired by the sounds of Iron Maiden.
Well, we're very proud of Sheffield of being a city of music as well as a city of steel. And if you talk about the 80s, of course, we had bands like Human League, ABC, Evan 17. Have you covered any of theirs? Is that something you'd look at?
That's right. Well, I did, you know, one of my first videos, I did a medley of 80s songs as Ragtime. That's kind of the video that first went viral for me. And I did cover Human League. I did Don't You Want Me, Baby. So, yeah, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility.
And how does it feel now to actually be on tour and actually come into their hometown?
Well, I mean, it's pretty amazing to, first of all, just the idea that this has gone from my basement apartment to stages in big theaters all around the world. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. So, you know, we're all so appreciative of that. And UK audiences are especially fun just because they're so into it, you know. we started off the tour and just saw that everybody was singing along, everybody was just having a great time. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is a celebration. It's a celebration of just real live music. And, you know, it's so fun for us to see an audience that is so supportive of this.
And I guess your audiences transcend different generations as well, don't they?
It's amazing, incredibly diverse. Yeah, we have, you know, in the front row, we'll see some kids, you know, or teenagers that, you know, love it because they know all the songs, they know the original artists, and they know those versions, and they're just looking for different versions of those songs. And then you also have some older folks, people that perhaps even really lived through, you know, the Motown era or the swing era, and they just, you know, love that classic sound, and maybe they don't know the lyrics, or they know the lyrics but don't really know what the words are saying. But, yeah, it's a pretty wild thing.
I just wonder how it came around in the first place. You must have had a passion for the likes of the Motown and the jazz and easy listening music.
Absolutely. Just jazz especially, New Orleans jazz, that was kind of what I first got introduced to when I was like 12 years old. And then from there, I just devoured everything from like the vinyl LP age, you know, whether it was Motown or whether it was swing or doo-wop. I just loved all that sound, all that vintage sound. And I really started this project just by making the stuff that I wanted to hear on the radio. And I just, you know, found a way to kind of make these sounds relevant to the modern day. And it's been exciting to see so many people come aboard. And I met so many like-minded people that also, you know, love this kind of, these kind of sounds. And that's just helped this whole project grow so much.
Well, you know what, the PMJ is like a postmodern jukebox. It's not a band as much as it's a concept and experience, isn't it, with about 40 performers. Can you tell us about that and how it came about in the first place?
Yeah, I think, you know, the best way to describe it, it's kind of like an alternate universe. It's like a universe where the songs that we hear on the radio now and that we all know and that are familiar to us existed in this kind of specific golden age of music. You know, you think of like the vinyl LP era. You think of when people used to dress up to go to concerts, and it was all very old Hollywood and glamorous. You know, it's kind of this other, you know, dimension. And when you go to a concert, you really experience these things. I mean, from the moment that you walk in, you see that there are so many people that are dressed vintage to come to this concert. This is a big outing for people, and you know, it's a spectacle. So, yeah, I don't remember how we started this question, but I got excited about that.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, you know, how the band came together in the first place. How did it evolve?
Well, it was, you know, through meeting a lot of like-minded people. And, you know, the beauty of the internet is that you can put something up. There's a very low barrier to entry. You can create something, and if people really enjoy it, they're going to share it. They're going to tell their friends about it, and it's really easy for it to spread. And, you know, we had started by, I was just recording things in my basement apartment and inviting some of my talented friends to come help me make these new retro versions of these songs. And more people started just sharing my videos. And before long, it was like a thing. I never even really imagined it at the time. I'd never thought that, you know, when I first wrote the words Postmodern Jukebox, that someday that would be a collective that played on stages all around the world.
And in terms of the numbers, I mean, you know, obviously there's an appeal for it. We look, you know, lots of people love what you did right in the early days. But I mean, you're now getting millions of views on YouTube, on something. Yeah. I mean, do you have to pinch yourself?
Absolutely. It's crazy. And I always thought when I was growing up, I mean, I was the only person in my town that liked this kind of music. And, you know, now seeing that that there's almost like a huge demand for this kind of thing. I mean, it's a great feeling, and also just for the music industry as a whole, it's showing that people really do have a love of real live music played by talented performers. And I think that's so exciting. I think we're really on the cusp of something.
And Scott, whereabouts do you get your performers from? Any from the UK? Any up north? Can anyone join?
You know, we had started in the early days. It was really, you know, limited to where I was living. You know, I worked with a lot of people from New York City. I was living in New York City. And then gradually, the radius kept expanding as, you know, people more people were introduced to me, and people from LA, people from the Midwest, people from, you know, the South and America. And now we've gotten to the point that it's starting to get more global. You know, we had at our Glasgow show, we had a singer from Glasgow that joined us that had come out to do a video with us. So you know, at this point, I mean, in the future for us, we want this to be a truly global platform, you know, for talent around the world. And the beautiful thing about it is it doesn't matter if you have a huge fan base. Some of our singers have very big fan bases. Some of them have no fan base and that are completely undiscovered. But, you know, if there's a talent there, this is a home.
Do you think some of your performers are likely to go on and be big names in their own right?
Absolutely. They already have. A few of them have gotten record deals just as a result of appearing in our videos. Other artists like Morgan James have gone on to tour, you know, the world on their own. Other ones like Haley Reinhardt have gotten huge success. You know, she recently had a single that was used in a commercial that has been everywhere. And it's been really exciting to see the careers that have been helped by this project.
Do you see yourself as a bit of a modern-day Tommy Dorsey who's finding the next Frank Sinatra?
I guess it's kind of like there is some comparisons to that. You know, back then, I mean, the band leader wasn't the front person or anything. It was the person that kind of was more behind the scenes, and that's kind of what I enjoy doing. I enjoy putting together the arrangements and working with the cast and coming up with different possibilities. So yeah, I guess it's kind of a return to the big band era in that sense.
And you know, the
kind of like I've heard it described as a SNL for singers.
Really,
I think it's pretty apt.
And do you know what? Things like your version of Justin Bieber's Sorry, which we're actually going to put on our website, we're going to host that so people can see it. It's absolutely amazing. Featuring the voice, I think, of somebody called Shoshana Bean, if I've pronounced that right.
Shoshana Bean, yeah, she's the singer. Yeah, she's a phenomenal. Yeah, she's a big Broadway star from America. And she's sung with everybody and really just lives that style of music.
Just unbelievable. And I'm sure some of these artists must have seen it and must have referred to it. Has Justin Bieber said anything about the song?
I have not heard from Justin Bieber yet, but we did a residency in Los Angeles about a year ago, and he actually had come to one of the nights. He didn't perform with us, but he did check it out and definitely seemed to be having a good time.
Well, I'm not surprised, and I think that's the first single from your new album, PMJ and Chill. What can you tell us about the album?
Say it one more time.
What can you tell us about the album?
So, our albums are kind of a very diverse collection of just different styles, and it's all, in this one, we're covering a lot of songs that are on the radio now, that are, you hear in one style on the radio, but in our version is just very, very different. And also, the title comes from the whole Netflix and chill phenomenon that is kind of an internet meme, and this is kind of our take on it, what it would be like back in the day. So it's a very diverse album. We have a lot of different singers, a lot of different styles of music, and it's really for anybody that wants a playlist of just really interesting music. I mean, just listening to a PMJ album or putting on a PMJ album, you're bound to get comments at a party. Just as people, as soon as they hear it and they recognize, well, wait a minute, aren't these Justin Bieber lyrics?
It truly is diverse. I mean, I hear on there the kind of 20s jazz, the Irish folk, the vintage cabaret, some great, and it's just a great take on contemporary songs. I would really urge people to go out and buy the album and definitely get to see you live. What more do you bring to the party in a live show?
So we travel, we pack a tour bus, we bring a lot of people, and including like multiple vocalists, about 5 different vocalists, all that are different styles of vocalists that are on my channel. We also have a fantastic tap dancer. Right now, the tap dancer that's on tour with us, I'm going to say it, that she's the best tap dancer in the world. I can't imagine anybody being as good as her. We've got an MC, which is an incredible voice and just a great charismatic personality. It's just, it's a celebration. So, you might come for, maybe you've seen a couple of videos online, but I think that there's nothing like seeing it live. That's what it's meant to be. So it's really like my YouTube channel just come to life.
I guess you guys on stage are having as much fun as the audience.
Absolutely. Every night. It's a very musical bunch, too. And I think it's, there's a lot of times where people will just play music and sing like all day long. It's what they love to do.
Well, I'm just going to remind everybody, Scott, you've actually conquered most of the UK already, but you've got dates in Birmingham, O2 Academy on Friday, 18th of March, Sheffield O2 Academy on Saturday the 19th of March. You're in Leeds at the O2 Academy on Sunday the 20th of March. And then I think you've got dates in Norwich and back to London Roundhouse. So all the dates will be on our websites. Scott, I just want to say thank you ever so much for your time, and thanks for bringing a new mix into popular music.
Thank you. Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.